see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. This is the third show, ladies and gentlemen, where time is flying, you must admit. You know, I came across something interesting this week that I've been meaning to tell you about, and it's kind of strange because Governor Bill de Blasio, you know, when I looked him up, he had the Italian connection. But I found a picture on Gab, and this is what it says. Meet Warren Wilhelm Jr. He worked for the Quixote Center, which strongly supported the Marxist-Leninist ruling government of Nicaragua, the Sandinista National Liberation Front. Warren, better known as Bill de Blasio, is the current mayor of New York. He also announced he's running for president. You can now see why he's linked up with the Jews in New York, right? It is very possible that he is a Jew. Just don't be fooled by the name Wilhelm. Wilhelm, it is. He could be a German Jew. He has a unibrow, and he has the reddish hair, and it's an afro. So you can't tell that with his hair as he has it now, can you? You can't tell that he had curly afro hair, could you? So see how you can hide your bloodlines. I mean, I don't care if he doesn't use his real name in politics, but, I mean, it's a form of protection. But it's interesting that somebody comes out with this picture, because you would have never made this connection, because certainly the mainstream media wasn't going to tell you about this. If anybody wants that picture, email me and I'll email it to you. Maybe I'll put it in. By the way, the newsletter, I've been working on my site. I think I got it pretty much squared away so it loads a lot faster. And I fixed a few things I've been wanting to fix for a while. And I'm going to be resuming the newsletter, I would say within the next 2 weeks, the first one will go out. Once I do it once, we'll get it going in the right way. So perhaps maybe I'll put this in the newsletter. It'll be a newsletter where you're going to get some links to books. You're going to get some information, and hopefully you'll continue your education with this newsletter that I'll be putting out. Okay, now let's get to the subject material. We left off last week with Glenn Danzig denies that he is a Satanist. So, we continue, we're on page 11, very interesting, of the one of the greatest, the title of the article is One of the Greatest Deceptions, the Disney Family. One of the greatest deceptions of all time, Disney, the Disney bloodline. Perhaps I'll put this in there for you in the newsletter. So it says, Disneyland and Disney World are world famous and the pride of America. They are also extremely important programming centers for the Jews. Remember, anytime they say Illuminati, it's mostly Jews. Sometimes Illuminati will be used properly, but it really means the Jews. To create total mind control slaves. Disneyland is also involved with providing a place for rituals, porn, and other satanic activities. In terms of deception, Disney movies and Disney amusement parks rate as one of the best deceptions. According to deprogrammed ex-Illuminati slaves, the Jews in the 1960s needed to shift their programming away from the military bases because too much publicity or heat was shined on the military bases. Their goal was to have some place that people could from all over the world could come to without raising any suspicions, and a place which would be perfect, a perfect cover for many of their criminal activities. According to a witness, the Illuminati or Jewish programmers got a big laugh out of using Disneyland as a major Jewish base for criminal activity. Under the disguise of entertaining the world, they carried out money laundering, child slavery laundering, and mind control. They nicknamed Disneyland the Little Syndicate of Mind Control. I want you to know that as I've been studying the mob, that they're all involved in these things too. All of them are involved in the money laundering, the child slavery laundering. They say they don't do anything to children, the mob, by the way. They say, oh, we don't kill women. We don't do anything, sell drugs to children, and on and on and on it goes. Maybe some of them do, maybe some of them don't. I was thinking about the name Capo. It's not a name, it's a title, so to speak. When you're a capo, you see, a capo is something that you use on a musical instrument to change the key, and you put this bar over all the strings at a fret, so it controls all the strings on the instrument. You get it now why they call them a capo? It's pretty interesting, isn't it? They pull all the strings. That's exactly why they're called capo. They'll say capo instead of capo. But I could say tomato instead of tomato, couldn't I? According to a witness, yeah, the Little Syndicate of Mind Control. Okay, so next. When a child of 3 or 4 was kidnapped, they could torture the child, then put him on a ride such as a Ferris wheel or carousel that created a disassociation from the pain. While also, B, they said A, I didn't know why that was there, A, created a disassociation from the pain, while also, B, going along with some fairy tale programmed script. An abducted child while waiting to be picked up from one Jew non-parent caretaker by another could be kept happy and distracted while waiting for the pickup. For years, Disneyland was a Jewish center for many of their worldwide activities. He likes to say Illuminati. Now, Disney has created other sites around the world, such as Euro Disneyland, 20 miles east of Paris, and Tokyo Disneyland. Tokyo Disneyland, 1991, had 16 million people attend, with such huge crowds, it doesn't take much imagination how the Jews have been able to do sneaky criminal activities right in front of the people. And the public never sees it. In the middle of all the activity, Euro Disney has been a money-losing affair. But the Saudis, who benefit from its mind control, gave Disney the money to keep it financially in business. Walt Disney Records is the largest children's record label in the world. Disney, through their movies, books, toys, records, etc., has made a tremendous impact on the children of the world. Their movie, Return from Witch's Mountain, was one of the most powerful witchcraft promotions ever made. DuckTales, which has deliberate monarch mind control triggers written into the script, is also broadcast in Poland and the former USSR. From the time of the Roman Empire, at least if not before, the oligarchical leadership, who have been in control of both the mystery religions and European aristocracy, have known about bread and circus. Bread and circus refers to the concept that if the masses of people are given entertainment and food staples, then they are easy to control. Remember me talking about that? Remember that? Many times in the earlier Saxon's Creed shows? Bread and circuses. Walt Disney movies have played a key role in providing entertainment for the masses to ensure Jewish control. Walt Disney's friend, the Masonic prophet H.G. Wells, in his book, A Modern Utopia, that there would be lots of shows in the New World Order, the Jew World Order. There'd be lots of shows. Get it? The World Future Society, in a book review in their publication, Future Survey Annual, 1993 edition, Michael Marion, Bethesda, Maryland, World Future Society, page 91, describes Disney. You ready? Pay attention, Neshabna. Control of commodities such as entertainment and access to commodities translates into control over people. The postmodern U.S., is a massive rush of disconnected commodities, each seeking a moment of our attention. I think we should think about that for a minute. So the control of commodities and access to commodities translates into control over people. Right? If you can control the food, you can control the people. If you control the oil, you control the people. Even entertainment, you can control the people. Isn't that interesting? The world of commodities is our soma, and the entertainment is the current form of public discourse. Let's look up the word soma, because I don't know what it means. Let's check it out. What is a soma? Okay, I have to spell it out. We want the meaning, okay. The parts of an organism other than the reproductive cells. The body as distinct from the soul, mind, or psyche. Ah, very interesting, and it's a Greek word. More definitions? Late 19th century, from Greek, soma, body, it means. Soma, an intoxicating drink prepared from a plant and used in Vedic ritual, believed to be the drink of the gods. Vedic, I believe, means from India. The plant from which the soma drink is prepared. In Aldous Huxley's novel Brave New World, a narcotic drug which produces euphoria and hallucination, distributed by the state in order to promote content and social harmony. Hello. You heard it, right? Okay, back to the article. The world of commodities is our soma, and entertainment is the current form of public discourse. Walt Disney World spread over 27,400 acres of Central Florida swamp and scrub forest is the most ideologically important piece of land in the U.S. What goes on here is the quintessence of the American way. It is visited by over 30 million people a year. Not only the major middle class pilgrimage center is in the U.S., but by far the most important entertainment center in the world. It is clearly Oz, utopia as a marketing device. Two Disney brothers, Walter Elias, and Roy O. Disney. Elias. Very interesting. Have been at the center of the creation of amusement parks and popular Disney films. In more recent times, two other men, Eisner and Katzenberg, hello, have been notable at Disney. Eisen and Katzenberg, as well as others, will be discussed later. One of Disney's directors, Victor Salva, was convicted of molesting a boy and filming one of the sexual molestations. Recently, Disney director Salva produced the Disney movie Powder. Victor Salva's sexual molestation conviction was covered by newspaper articles such as Robert W. Welkos of the L.A. Times, in newspapers such as The Oregonian, Wednesday, October 25, 1995. The impact of the Disney brothers is monumental. Mickey Mouse t-shirts can be seen being worn by natives all over the world. Disney World and Disneyland are the quest for a large segment of humanity who often esteem these amusement parks as the highlight of their life. Can you imagine that? Who often esteem these amusement parks as the highlight of their life? What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God, according to the Word of God. That's what Fritz says here. And very interesting. Again, what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God, according to the Word of God, like the Catholic Church? Like Judeo-Christianity? The Bible arbitrarily makes this claim, but sadly, research by this author over the years proves that a close examination of Disney and mankind's esteem for Disney does vindicate the Bible expectation. In other words, as readers of this article will find out, behind the appearance of wholesomeness of the Disney brothers and their creations lays abominations. Some of the most grotesque aspects of generational occultism the world has ever seen. Disney's Magic Kingdom has become an American institution that impacts people all over the world from cradle to the grave. Who was Walt Disney? In the large book, The Art of Walt Disney, From Mickey Mouse to the Magic Kingdom by Christopher Finch, New York, Harry N. Abrams, 1975, on page 11, an interesting and revealing statement is made. By definition, public figures are known to everyone, yet, even after talking with some of Disney's closest associates, it's impossible to escape the conclusion that nobody really knew him. Always there was some aspect of his personality that was just out of reach. Those who got to know Walt Disney too closely made complaints such as he was self-satisfied, intractable, and arrogant. He could bring his artist to tears or anger in a matter of seconds. Finch is not the only author who has tried to warn his readers of the public image of Walt Disney was just that, only a false image. Oh, that's surprising. Another false image in the world? No. Mosley also writes in his biography of Walt Disney, since Disney is regarded by millions of people, particularly in the United States, as perhaps this century's most brilliantly successful creator of screen animation and animation, I think I should make one thing clear right away. I share the general admiration of a man whose cinematic achievements were always so happily inspired and inspiring. But, and this is where I differ from uncritical idolaters, I have to know all the facts, no matter how unpalatable, as well as the romantic myths about any great man or woman I admire. Many of the myths that have been created by his publicists about Walt Disney are unpalatable, unbelievable, and unsatisfactory because so much of the real Walt Disney has been deliberately concealed. Walt Disney had grave flaws in his character. And that's from Mosley, Disney's World, page 9. Years ago, oh, and this is from page 9. That was page 11. Hello. And this is from page 9. Hey, I can't make these things up. This is just the way it is. Years ago, an Illuminati grandmaster and programmer stated, if the world only had eyes to see the fibers which lay under the surface of Walt Disney's image, they'd tar and feather him and drag him through the streets, if only they knew what Disney's primary goals. I would think it should say what they were. Or, well, no, I guess not. They knew, if only they knew what Disney's primary goals. Well, this is, yeah, it's a little screwed up, but that's what it says. Personal details. Walt had black hair with a black mustache and bright, quick eyes and was about 6 foot tall. He used his own facial features to clue artists on how to draw Mickey Mouse's features. He liked specially rolled brown cigarettes, which he smoked up to 70 a day. He picked up the smoking habit in the army. He loved expensive Scotch whiskey, red sunsets, and horses. He had a vacation home in Palm Springs, California, called the Smoke Tree Ranch. Well, that's funny. I have a smoke tree in my yard. I never knew there was such thing as a smoke tree. He often wore the ranch's letter STR emblazoned on his necktie. He played lots of golf with Bob Hope and Ed Sullivan at the ST Ranch. His main home was an estate in Holmby Hills. The Holmby Hills estate was located in a plush area where lots of rich show business families lived. It was located between Bel Air, an occult word for Satan, and Beverly Hills. I keep trying to tell people that the name Bel is Baal. Bel Air, get it? But even the word rebellion has Bel in it, you see? And lion, Bel Lion, rebel lion. Get it? Walt spent many of his years or his nights at the Disney Studios, and later he had his own private quarters at the center of Disneyland. He had reoccurring bouts of insomnia. For his nerves and insomnia, he'd take alcohol and tranquilizers. He'd go weeks on end without stepping foot on this Holmby Hills estate and seeing his family. The main topic of the studio by the staff during different time periods was Walt's bizarre behavior. He would not be available until late afternoon, when he would emerge from the studio's subterranean maze of tunnels, where supposedly he was chatting with the maintenance engineers every day. The value of his estate when he died was $35 million, of which Lillian, his wife, inherited half. In his later years, when Disney took a vacation, he went to Paris for 3 weeks, and 3 weeks at the Hotel du Cap in Antibes, and then crossed onto Fritz Lowe's yacht with Ron and Diane Disney. In England, Walt spent time with the British royal family and met privately with Masonic prophet H.G. Wells. In Rome, Walt visited privately with the Pope and the dictator Mussolini. In 1966, Walt died. Interesting, hey? Prior to his death, he had investigated cryogenesis, being frozen. And it is believed by some that his body is frozen somewhere in California, while others claim he was cremated. Well, that's very interesting, is it not? My, my, my. What lies under the surface, ladies and gentlemen? Mickey Mouse. According to one source, the inspiration for Walt to create Mickey Mouse came when he was unemployed and saw a mouse in the gutter. There are quite a few stories in circulation as to where the idea came from. Ube Lurks claimed that he thought Mickey up at an animators meeting in Hollywood. Walt once said, "There's a lot of the mouse in me." Yeah, you rat. That was from a biographical article written by Etling E. Morrison with only one R. That's different. Page 131. In fact, Ube Lurks told Walt that Mickey Mouse looks exactly like you. Same nose, same face, same whiskers, same gestures and expressions. All he needs now is your voice. Walt often did serve as Mickey's voice. Wow, I didn't know that. A book put out by Walt Disney Company. See, isn't it funny that they tell that they're rats? You know what I mean? It's like they have to. They have to let you know what they really are. And it's right there. But, you know, you just don't think of it because anything that's done in the guise of humor seems to be accepted and never... People just don't look at it because their guard is down. They're smiling. They're not critically thinking. So, a book put out by Walt Disney and Company in 1988 reveals that Walt Disney told Ward Kimball, quite frankly, I prefer animals to people. Well, he could have been a cat lady then. Walt usually was the voice behind Mickey Mouse, even though he wasn't the artist. His mother was chilly for years about the work that Walt did. That's a kind of a strange word. She was chilly. Around 1940, after much pleading, he finally got her to watch Mickey Mouse. His unsupportive mother, which he would within a few years learn was not actually his biological mother. Ah, here's the key. You know what that possibly means, right? Now you know why he might be a rat and has the inclination toward evil and Freemasonry and everything else. Hmm? We'll have to see. I don't know if it'll be revealed here or not. So it wasn't his real mother. She told him she didn't like Mickey Mouse's voice, to which he told her it was his, and that she responded by saying he had a horrible voice. The cold towel she threw on Mickey Mouse helped convince Walt to quit making Mickey Mouse cartoons. Very few came out of Disney after that, and the very next Mickey Mouse full-length feature cartoon, Fantasia, had Mickey mostly silent. Looks like Mummy had a lot of pull. Walt's idea for The Sorcerer's Apprentice, the sorcerer's apprentice.
Hmm?
This rat is the sorcerer's apprentice. Get it? He's Mickey Mouse, and he's the sorcerer's apprentice. Was based on some of his own ideas. Walt had the dream, which was used for Mickey Mouse in The Sorcerer's Apprentice, of having complete control of the earth and the elements. Disneyland and Disney World were partial fulfillments of that dream for control. Walt's final pet project just prior to his death was the meticulously restored version of the witchcraft film Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Disney Magazine, Winter 96-97, published by Disney. Page 96 mentions this. Okay, Nishab, ladies and gentlemen. As a programming device, Mickey Mouse works well because it plays on the subconscious genetically transmitted fear of mice that women have. Mickey's image can help create a love-hate relationship, which is so valued during the traumatization and programming of mind control slaves. Isn't that interesting? Some sources state that Walt's love for animals came from the time his family had a farm near Marceline, Missouri. Walt began his schooling at Marceline, but continued it after the age of 8 at Benton School in Kansas City, Missouri. Walt's dad had a serious gambling problem and passed the spirit of gambling to his son, Walt. I wonder what Walt's real name was. I mean, Walt's dad's name. Hmm? It did say Elias was the last name here before, you know. And that's very suspect that he's a Jew. He certainly acts like a Jew and wants to do what the Jews do, et cetera, doesn't he? Walt never graduated from high school. He had a natural love and flair for artwork. Although contrary to his public image, he never became proficient at it. He joined the army in World War I as an ambulance driver by lying about his age. He was a liar, too, a practicing liar. During the war, he also chauffeured dignitaries. He also did some other things that are very revealing. He enjoyed drinking and gambling while in the service, and he ran a scam where he doctored German artifacts picked up on the battlefield to sell to people. War relics were tampered with to get them in shape to get the most money for them possible. Walt took the battle souvenirs and dressed them up, for instance, coating the insides of the helmets with grease, hair, and blood, putting holes in them to make them into expensive souvenirs. This shows, that's deception, ladies and gentlemen. It's downright evil, is what it is. This shows that Walt was willing to build illusions if it paid. He could be deceptive if he saw an advantage to it. From gleanings from things Walt said to people, it appears that as a child, he had seen this darker side of life. For instance, his father had a habit of beating him in the basement and had some interest or exposure to magic as a child. You know, that's weird. Remember I was talking about how people, children, had just seen a magician on TV and it changed their whole lives magically. And they became some of these magicians. Most of these magicians, actually, if I remember correctly, had been affected by magic when they were children. And so you can see that Disney World also wants to make children believe in magic and has shaped the world. People becoming witches, people becoming Wiccans, people becoming Antichrist, et cetera, is caused by these types of things. It's something to really think about. You see, if young children see magic and it changes their lives and they become obsessed by demons and inhabited by demons and perform magic, don't you think that Walt Disney has a great part in that, exposing children to magic? I do. Back to the article. Bob Thomas writes, Walt took a boyish delight in playing tricks on his parents. He was fascinated with magic tricks. There you go. Walt Disney, an American original, page 35. There you go. After the military, Walt hoped to have a career as an artist. He applied to the advertising agency Pessman Rubin. Roy, his brother, claimed that Pessman Rubin hired Walt as a personal favorite to Roy, who handled the agency's account at the bank. Roy worked at Walter's last month Roy worked at Walter lasted a month. This is making no sense, okay? But I'm sorry, it's just the quote, not my fault. Until the advertising agency let him go due to Walt's singular lacking of drawing ability. According to current biography, 1952, in 1923, Roy and Walt had together $290. They borrowed $500. Jeez, no, this can't be happening. It just can't. They borrowed $500 from another Disney, one of their uncles named Robert Disney, and began to try to make cartoons. Robert Disney had retired in the L.A. area in Edendale, California, after a successful mining career. Robert had always been close to Walt's father, Elias. Ah, so his father's name is Elias Disney. And helped Walt and Roy out when they came to California. Walt loved to study Charlie Chaplin, a member of the Collins family. Charlie Chaplin's a Jew. He scrawled notes about his body language, facial features, and his gag methods. He also read everything he could about animation and cartooning. They worked out of their uncle's garage in Hollywood, California. They were finally able to make a good cartoon, Steamboat Willie, in 1928, which became an instant hit. As well as with many things in life, the cartoon was not only good, but Walt had finally had the right connections. On Steamboat Willie was shown in a small independent theater without any advance promotion or advertising. But amazingly, the New York Slime, Variety, and Exhibitors Herald all ran rave reviews of the cartoon the next day. Was this an accident? I don't think so. Did journalists from all of these prestigious periodicals just happen to go to this tiny independent theater? No, it was connections. Jewish connections. The reason the elite decided to promote Walt Disney after the Steamboat Willie came out as Hollywood's newest boy wonder was to deflect enormous bitterness that had been generated by the stock market collapse towards Jewish financiers. Did you just hear that? That there was bitterness that had been generated by the stock market collapse towards Jewish financiers. See, people back then knew, but we've lost our way. Hollywood, even in its first two decades, was known as Babylon and Sin City. I didn't know that. Did you hear that? Right there, I have to highlight that right away. Now, that's a fact that's worth knowing. Hollywood, even in its first two decades, was known as Babylon and Sin City. I just have to pause and think about that as I take a sip of my water. Think on that for a few secs. Now, we have another Babylonian connection because we have Babylon, New York, too, right? And the Babylonian Talmud. Back to the article. So let me say this one more time to get it right through your head. Hollywood, even in its first two decades, was known as Babylon and Sin City. The movie industry was well known to be run by the Jews, and many people blame the stock market crash on the moral degradation that Hollywood had introduced to this nation. There were calls for government regulatory groups to stop the smutty Hollywood films. Edgar Magnin, the spiritual leader of the major movie makers who were part of the Los Angeles B'nai B'rith, reporters encouraged those in the Mishpucha and others who were in the B'nai B'rith movie makers that Hollywood needed to protect itself by putting Walt Disney in the limelight as a Christian white knight with family values. White knight. By the way, Edgar Magnin was nicknamed Rabbi to the Stars because he was the Hollywood rabbi. Magnin. Edgar Magnin. Hollywood rabbi. My, ladies and gentlemen. My. E. Magnin's grandfather, his grandfather's department store chain was one of the first major accounts of the Bank of Italy. And Edgar Magnin had continued his family's close association with the Bank of Italy. The closeness also came from the Bank of Italy's close ties to the B'nai B'rith and ADL. In 1930, the movie industry made a production code which stated that the industry must make a special effort to make movies appropriate for children. Hollywood directly praised Disney in that code as an exemplary model of what the movie industry wanted to do. With the power of the B'nai B'rith and ADL behind him, Walt began sailing to fame. Movie studios that had been turning out smut with lots of sex and violence all jumped on the bandwagon to show Walt's clean, wholesome cartoons. Walt was the facelift Hollywood needed after the Depression because the Depression caused Americans to think about America's morals. Many of the regular movie makers were so corrupt that they were out of touch with moral issues, but Walt Disney knew black from white. The Jewish movie makers pushed the man, Walt, they considered their best hope, to the front of the pack, who was billed with fundamental Christian, albeit Masonic Christian, who rarely stepped foot in a church. Quote from Walt Disney's Hollywood's Prince of Darkness, page 50. You see how even the Hollywood's Prince of Darkness is the white knight of Christianity and wholesomeness. See, even the devil tries to make himself illuminated or the true light. He wants to pretend he's the true light, an angel of light. Isn't it interesting, folks? These Jews can bring no good, and I mean no good, to anything, because a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And it's just so obvious that the dark knight is shown as the white knight, the hero, the light. But see, this is not the right light, the prince of darkness, you understand? Transforms himself into the angel of light. You know, it's just amazing how this stuff all works and fits together. Let's get back to the article, though. It's strangely, the biographies indicate that Walt quit doing the actual drawing in 1927, and Walt devoted himself entirely to the development of the cartoon business, such as raising money. In other words, the image of Walt Disney being the artist who created the Disney cartoons is inaccurate. The Disney brothers actually hired many other artists to do the work. If Walt quit drawing in 1927, and their first marketable cartoon was in 1928, that clearly shows that Walt did not do the actual cartooning. He continued to oversee the work, walking in and rigidly inspecting what was being done to suit his own intuitive tastes. Actually, the genius cartoon artist animator who made Walt Disney a success was Ub Lurks, about whom Walt, on a number of occasions, had said was the best animator in the world. Without Ub Lurks to take Walt's ideas and turn them into reality, Walt would have never become famous. Ub was an incredible genius who had the sense of line, a sense of humor, patience, organization, and a great sense of what Walt wanted. Walt treated him as cruelty at times, interrupting him, playing tricks on him, and not being totally honest with paying him. But he stayed with Walt over the years and made Walt the success Walt became. The books Disney World and Disney Animation, The Illusion of Life, have information on the unheralded genius, Ub Lurks. It's spelled like this, U-B, and his last name is L-W-E-R-K-S. Another unknown great artist was Floyd Gottfriedson. Floyd Gottfriedson drew all the Mickey Mouse cartoons from 1932 until October 1975, which is a period of 45 and a half years. Floyd Gottfriedson, or I don't know how you say it, it's G-O-T-T-R-F-E-D, Gottfriedson. Oh, get this. Floyd Gottfriedson was a Mormon born in a railway station in 1905 and raised in a tiny Mormon town, Sigurd, 180 miles south of Salt Lake City in 1931. Before Floyd totally took over the Mickey Mouse drawings, he would take suggestions from Walt on what to draw. For instance, Walt puzzled him by insisting that he do a cartoon series of Mickey Mouse committing suicide. Floyd had said, "Wait, you're kidding." But Walt thought that a series on suicide would be funny. Over the years, the Walt Disney products never mentioned Floyd's name. The bulk of the fans were led to believe that Walt did the cartooning of Mickey Mouse himself. See the book Walt Disney's Mickey Mouse in Color, edition Bruce Hamilton Publication, The Walt Disney Company, 1988. Fred Moore was involved in the creation of Pluto and some other cartoon characters. The idea for Pluto was Walt's, and it was Norm Ferguson's genius at drawing the look and idea that created the actual images. Walt Disney was awarded 32 personal Academy Awards, for the work that was done by his studios. Walt Disney's famous signature was actually designed by someone else and was taught to Walt. Schickle, Richard, The Disney Version, The Life, Time, and Art and Commerce of Walt Disney, New York, 1968, page 34. That's the source, ladies and gentlemen. Walt could only make a crude Disney signature, so he delegated the writing of the signature to several artists, including Bob Moore, Disney's publicity artist. Later, after much practice, he learned to make it well enough to do for publicity. Many people whom wrote letters asking for his actual signature and who actually did his signature thought that they had received forgiveness by his staff because the famous Disney signature was so crude. The nicer looking ones were the forgeries. One cartoon animator who joined Disney in 1940 recalled that Walt told him the first day, "You're new here, and I want you to understand just one thing. What we're selling here is the name Walt Disney. If you can swallow that and always remember it, you'll be happy here. But if you've got any ideas about seeing the name Ken Anderson up there, it's best for you to leave right away." Quite interesting, isn't it? Yes, I'd say so. Okay, you ready for this one now? This ought to really put some cherry on the whipped cream. Occult porn king. Walt grew up fascinated with the occult, and in an abusive home situation, he was fascinated with cartoons, nature, and children. He had an intuitive sense for the quality cartoons, that would appeal to children. At some point, the syndicate got him indebted to them. At that point, he was their man. See, didn't I tell you that the mob had something to do with all this? That's who the syndicate is. At that point, he was their man. He owed them a debt that they held over him. In secret, Walt became a porn king. A victim remembers that he was sadistic and enjoyed snuff porn films. That's where they kill people. His interest in children was far from altruistic. The Habsburgs of the 13th Illuminati Jewish bloodline had a sex salon in Vienna, where a porn photographer named Felix Salten worked. Felix Salten wrote a book, Bambi, which was then translated into English by the infamous communist Whitaker Chambers. The elite were just beginning to form the roots of today's environmental movement. The book appealed to Disney because Disney liked animals better than people. In the book, tame animals view humans as gods, while the wild and free animals see humans as demons, who they simply called him. The book begins, let me get that again. In the book, tame animals view humans as gods, while the wild and free animals see humans as demons, who they simply called him. Very interesting, huh? The book begins, isn't that the kind of way it looks like today, is the beasts of the field? They used to look at us as above them, which we are. But now that they're wild and free animals, they call us white devils, don't they? The book begins, okay, let's go on. The book begins with both free and tame animal viewing humans as rightly having dominion over them. In the end, the animals view all humans as simply being on the same level as animals. Get it? As vicious animals only fit, as a vicious animal only fit to be killed. That's the way they look at us today. Do you see what I'm saying to you? Are you catching what I'm saying and what it just said? In the end, the animals view all humans as simply being on the same level as animals. A vicious animal only fit to be killed. That's Whitey, right? We're on the same level as all the rest of the beasts of the field, two-legged ones now, right? Or at least they want you to believe that, right? It's wrong, but they want you to believe it is. And so now we're only fit to be killed, you see. Disney instructed his animators to make animals to be human. I want people to forget they are watching animals. Bambi was to receive a Christ-like manger birth, with the animals hailing him as a prince. Now, I thought Bambi was a female. Due to his sexual problems, Walt at one point permitted himself to be subjected to the packing of his genitals in ice for hours at a time.
What?
Elliot, Walt Disney's Hollywood Dark Prince, page 83. Children were instructed to call Walt Uncle Walt. An example of this were the Mouseketeers. For those who know how mind control programmers have traditionally liked to be called uncle by their child victims, the man from Uncle, the insistence by Walt to be known as uncle is distasteful. From what this author has learned from some sources about Walt's non-public life as a hidden sadistic porn king, it raises questions about the other parts of his life. For instance, Kenneth Anger, he's a Satanist, in his book Hollywood Babylon 2, page 192, hello, some animators stated that the boss, Walt Disney, seemed to have fallen in love with the boy. There may be some truth to this. Oh, my goodness. The boy who Walt fell in love with was a small, young, attractive boy actor named Bobby Driscoll, who signed up in 1946 with Disney. He acted in Song of the South, Treasure Island, and Bobby's voice was used in Peter Pan. Bobby Driscoll was very intelligent and attractive. Did Disney help or abuse him? That's a question. If Disney was such an upbuilding, wholesome atmosphere, and this child actor had everything going for him, why did Bobby become a methamphetamine addict at age 17 and die within just a few years? Why didn't his talent and early career lead to something positive in his life? Very good questions, huh? Ladies and gentlemen, I can answer the question for you very quickly. It's because a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And I don't mean that Bobby was the corrupt tree. I mean Disney and Disneyland and all that are the corrupt tree. I'm going to give you some good advice that I give at the end of every one of these shows. Don't go down the wrong hole.
They bring disgrace. A man without a face. The sands of time, they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yet just do the best you can. That they told erased. A man without a face. A man without a face. A man without a face. A man without.